This is TDL Mobile for Tuesday, the 22nd of September. I'm John Dickinson.
And I'm Sheldon Whitney.
Hi, Sheldon. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, John. Very good. Nice to be back after a couple of weeks out. And
we missed you last week.
Yeah, nice job on the show, though. I really enjoyed it last week. It brought me up to speed. As I say, I was on holiday.
Sunning it up.
Yeah, we picked a good weekend. Thanks for holding the fort. I thought it was a great show. So nice to be back. And again, plenty to be talking about, I think.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Unfortunately, Jose can't be with us this week again, but he's going to come back onto the shows as soon as he can.
Yeah, so, hopefully not way too long, is he? With a couple of weeks or so, and we should see Jose back.
Excellent. Yeah. Right, we'll kick into the news then, shall we? I think we'll start off with some Apple news, as tends to be the normal format. First bit of Apple news we've got is that the news that AT&T are going to service Apple's Fable tablet. So apparently Apple are prepping the 9.6-inch touchscreen tablet that would include a snappy wireless hardware, apparently. But although there's concerns about AT&T's architecture, there's been news in the last few weeks about it being falling over and a lot of struggling with that. Apparently they're going to be releasing it on there, so I don't know how well that will take on, but hopefully it should be out fairly shortly. The rumours coming out of Taiwan. And the rumours are suggesting that it's going to be about $799. So quite expensive.
Yeah, you just kind of want them to go and announce it really now. It's so many rumours and, you know, this, that and the other. But I mean, it's gaining traction now, isn't it? And once the manufacturing set from, you know, Taiwan and places like that start to kind of chime in, then I think it's pretty much inevitable now. I mean, it'd be interesting to see the price point. I mean, I'm pretty excited about this. I think there's a real place for this kind of device, you know, that sits between an iPod, an iPhone, that kind of side, a Zoom, and then a big screen TV. I think there's a real place for it.
That's it. I mean, it's sporting some quite good features from what the rumors are saying. Anyway, you know, you got integrated HSPA. Along with, what else are we saying on here? Oh, yeah, it's not really telling me much more on the article there, but obviously, yeah, the rumours are flying out about this at the moment, and like you say, we just want Apple to just make an official release, you know, give us a look at it, and then see when that's going to come out. But yeah, it does sound like a nice sort of intermediate, and it sounds like it's going to pair up with the iPhone quite nicely, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, if the picture that's in that article, the Reg Harbour article that we'll put a link out to, is, you know, I mean, it does just look like a big iPod Touch or an iPhone. And, you know, I think that's really, really nice. It's, you know, a big screen. Sometimes you just want to watch something on a bigger screen. It doesn't look so big that you don't want to carry it around with you. And, you know, a 9.6-inch screen will be, you know, pretty manageable just to throw in a bag and, you know, to watch on the tube or on the train or whatever.
That's right. It's kind of like a nice alternative to carrying around a netbook, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It'd be interesting to see what they do in terms of the sound. You know, whether there'll be options to connect it up to anything, or whether it'll just be sort of standard stereo. But yeah, just want them to go and announce it now, and you know, and announce a date and confirm the price, I guess, and you know, just when we might see it.
That's right. Yeah, I'm certainly very eager to have a look.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're a fellow iPhone user, aren't you? I think you know, once you've tried these kind of things, you just, you know, you're always looking for the next one. So
just want to see what they're going to come out with next.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it, aren't they? And they generally kind of kick off a bit of innovation, and you know, I'm sure there'll be others that follow them into the market if it proves successful. So one to watch. Hopefully one day soon we'll be talking about it, not just as a rumor, but a confirmed date, confirmed price.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, just sticking with Apple as well. I mean, if we move on to the iPhone, I know that they've recently released their firmware update, which I put on mine actually today, 3.1. I had a few issues with it. I mean, some of the issues that are being reported, it doesn't seem to be affecting everyone, but certainly it seems to be, as the article that's that we'll post the link to sort of highlights. It does seem to be the buggiest one that, you know, that I've seen. I had some issues with it just straight away after upgrading. It would just switch itself off randomly, and it did that sort of two or three times. So yeah, it does seem that OS 3.1 does have a few bugs in it. I'm not exactly sure what it has been sort of released to fix, but I'm certainly having a few issues with it. Have you upgraded to that? Are you having any problems with it, John?
I haven't yet. No, I've reluctantly not done it. I don't want to jump in just yet. I mean, I think I did a bit of reporting on it last week, where I was saying that there was an issue coming out where it broke the Exchange, the Exchange, because of something to do with the security on it.
Right, that's right. I remember. Yeah.
I couldn't live without having the Exchange on it. I mean, obviously I have a BlackBerry for work for his backup, but I just don't use it. I just have everything on my iPhone. If I lost it, I don't know what I'd do. So I'm waiting because of all these problems that are coming out. I just think I'm just going to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's weird because, I mean, I've never had a problem. I mean, my company's on the Apple developer program, so we get access to the beta releases of software. And I'll be honest, I mean, I followed the releases all through all the beta releases of OS 3 and never had an issue like I've had today. You know, generally they're to me anyway, pretty rock solid and pretty reliable. So hopefully this isn't a sign of things to come up. My guess is they probably released it fairly early. They obviously wanted to fix a couple of issues and change a couple of things anyway, and my guess is maybe it's come out a little too early. So I think you're doing the wise thing. I think hopefully they'll launch an update pretty soon that will be a little bit more stable.
Yeah, I mean they did seem to rush up from 3. I mean, when was 3 released? It wasn't long ago, was it? Only a couple of months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it?
Then we had 3.01 to fix a few bugs, and then 3.1's been rushed out.
Yeah, it does seem a bit rushed, doesn't it?
Yeah. What from what you've seen, I know there's a lot of problems going around, but what benefits are there to 3.1?
I've not seen anything, I'll be honest. I mean, I've only had it on for a day, so you know, I've not really had I've just had a pretty standard day. So, you know, making calls, emails, a bit of web surfing, you know, the iPod, that kind of thing, and nothing's really sprung out as being sort of massively different. As I say, the only real issue I've had is it just keeps switching itself off. So
that's not good. Yeah, I know. I looked at it briefly last week, and I was saying that they got I think the four main things that they were plugging for it was something like Genius, updated Genius playlist for the iPod. There was Genius apps for the App Store, so it looked at what apps you'd installed and recommended new ones. There was the home screen organizer, which you could now do through iTunes. I can't remember.
Right, right.
Nothing major.
Yeah. I have to say, that's quite a nice feature. Obviously, that makes total sense, of course, that it fits in with the release of iTunes 9. So, I like the idea of that feature, actually organizing the home screens. That can be a, you know, a bit of a pain on the device itself. So, I downloaded the firmware update, just synced it, and then, you know, walked away. So I'll probably have another delve into that, and I think you're right, some of those features are going to be pretty useful, so hopefully that'll you know, that they'll just make it a little bit more stable, and then that'd be great.
Fingers crossed, I'm waiting for that.
Yeah absolutely. Just moving on to some other news, again sticking with Apple, and this just follows on from some of the conversations that we've had over the past few weeks, just about the, you know, the App Store, Apple's kind of fairly close guarded over submissions to the App Store and how they get approved. They've obviously opened up a little bit with this whole FCC saga with Google and everything, but I just found an article that highlighted kind of the other side of things with one particular iPhone developer, although I don't think it's limited to them. I think there are a few of them out there that But basically, this guy, I think his app is Log Me In, which is obviously tied into I think accessing PCs from anywhere. And Mike Simon, he's actually said that essentially he's you know, got a hotline, if you like, into the App Store, really to sort of help him with any issues that he might have in terms of getting it submitted and you know, getting feedback and this kind of thing. So I think on, you know, it's nice to hear, you know, the positive side, I think. And obviously there is support there, and possibly, you know, the fact that there are just so many apps that are submitted to the App Store, and obviously some of them are, you know, there are commercial angles that need to be covered off. But it's, yeah, it's just nice to see that there is help out there, and particularly for, you know, sort of developers like Mike and his company, and you know, hopefully there's more out there that are getting a similar kind of level of support.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, that was always one thing, that's one thing that we've always reported on, was the fact that developers are screaming out for some more guidelines on what they can and can't do when developing an app for the iPhone. So getting some kind of, you know, some kind of support line or something like that. I mean, if they were going to roll that out to general developers, that would be brilliant. You know, they could help out with, you know, they could have a whole support team there helping people out, and that would just make life, it wouldn't make just make life easier for the developer, but I'm sure it'd make life much easier for Apple as well, because they wouldn't have to be so, you know, they wouldn't have to sit there and say, no, you can't do this, come back, and then do the whole work again of checking the app, you know, come back again, check the app, and they just, you know, it'd make the whole process a lot more streamlined.
Yeah, absolutely, exactly, and it's not a huge leap, right, is it? I mean, if all they've got to do is put in place a little bit better service like this, like they seem to be doing, and you know, and then the whole experience is more positive, you know, the whole, you know, the kind of the whole community, the whole atmosphere just is going to come off that much more, you know, positive. So it does seem to me like a bit of a no-brainer, and I guess maybe as well, part of the sort of reasons here, you generally don't get to hear about the good stuff, do you? You normally get to hear about the more controversial stuff, and maybe this kind of stuff is happening, and you know, it's nice that it's actually getting some kind of profile, and hopefully they are putting a bit more effort into it.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So it's all positive anyway. So that hopefully, you know, what with understanding a little bit more about the process of the App Store submission, a little bit more support, you know, again, it's just kind of just pushing on and still, you know, the App Store to sort of lead the way, really.
Excellent, yeah.
Good stuff. Should we stick with some more Apple news? I mean, again, this is kind of a bit more along the lines of the whole sort of spark that kicked off this debate, really, with the Google Voice app. I know Google released an article, or sorry, a press release to say that Apple have rejected it, and Apple are still saying it's under review. So this one just won't go away, will it? I think it's, you know, there's still issues with it, but, you know, Google are pretty sort of, are pretty certain that it has actually been rejected, but obviously that contradicts Apple's version of the events. So I'm not sure what your take is on it, John, but it seems just a bit mysterious, isn't it, still?
It is. I think there's some kind of underlying argument going on there that is not public facing yet, but I think it's on the boil. I know Google Voice was released to the Palm Store, wasn't it, on WebOS for the pre the other week. So they've had no problem getting that out. But obviously, you know, I don't really know what Apple's problem is so much, because they released Skype and everything on it, and that seems to work okay. I mean, to do with Google Voice, the people you would think would be more complaining about it is the carriers. So maybe it is something to do with Apple trying to please its the companies that have got the monopoly on it, on the iPhone. Yeah.
It definitely seems a bit of it's obviously a complex area, isn't it? All the different parties involved. I mean, I think, you know, everyone's quick to say that the commercial angle is kind of winning out. But I mean, like you said, John, I think there's a couple of instances recently where, you know, that hasn't proved to be the case. No one thought Spotify would be released, and obviously it has been, you know, you know, the other one you mentioned as well, I think they're obviously not entirely driven by the commercials of this. And, you wonder whether it is a bit more deep-rooted. Obviously, Google and Apple have, you know, had some pretty close links, and Google are, you know, soon to be launching their OS. And you just wonder, you know, quite whether this is the whole story, or whether it's just going to unfold over the, you know, the next few months. Whether it is the carriers, whether it's or whether it's just some kind of issue between the two companies that hasn't just come to light yet.
Yeah, I think I definitely think there's something underlying there that will come to a head at some point soon.
Yeah, but it's definitely it's just going to run and run. So I guess we'll still be talking about it probably in a few more weeks, but
more than likely. Right, we've got Palm WebOS news, haven't you, this week?
Yeah. I mean, again, it sort of links into that previous story. The as you said, the Google Voice app, or coming to the Palm WebOS. I mean, this one's an app called GDial Pro, which actually just again makes Google Voice or brings Google Voice to Palm WebOS. So it looks pretty nice. I haven't had, obviously I don't have a Palm device myself, so got nothing more to go on really than the article that I read. But obviously there's no issues there. They're able to bring it to their app store. The Palm app store does seem to be on the rise, and all the time that these kind of apps are making an appearance here and not in the Apple store, I can't help but think that's not a great thing. So but good news for Palm, and good news for anyone with a Palm device.
Definitely.
So I guess we'll just post a link to that one, and just good to see that the app stores are growing, and that these useful apps are making their way out.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's really good to see the WebOS getting more and more development, because it started off, it was, the store there was very dry, wasn't it? So it was not much in there at all. But it's really good to see that they're getting some more coverage.
Yeah, so I think you mentioned the Pixie last week as well, didn't you, John? Which looks pretty good. I have to say, I'm quite keen to get a little bit more info on that. Obviously, we'll bring that to the show when we've got it. But they've obviously got a clear roadmap with that, and the Pixie being the next device with WebOS is going to benefit from this store as well.
Yeah, I mean that's a post that Jose put up on the Digital Lifestyle. So it's definitely worth having a read of that and having a look at the device if you've not seen it already.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. See, I mean, it's obviously their strategy. I mean, just another bit of Palm news that we probably want to cover is that they are now fully squarely behind the WebOS and have announced that future devices are going to be running the WebOS platform rather than Windows Mobile. So for the past, I think it's 4 years, they've had devices with Windows Mobile on, and it's a natural step, and I don't think it's a big surprise for many people. But the fact that now all Palm devices will be WebOS based just clarifies things, I think, a little bit. Obviously, this is their big play, and everyone wants to see Palm do well, I think. And the WebOS looks great from what I've seen of it. It looks absolutely fantastic. So good to see that developing.
Cheers. Yeah. Right, got a bit of news on the Opera Mini that we've been talking about for, we talked about it the other week. Jose was saying how much he liked that browser, I think, and I'm sure you've tried it as well. Mm. But yeah, there's a new facelift for it. Apparently they've introduced multi-page browsing, sort of tabbed browsing, into their mini browser. That's a beta rolled out last week, the 16th. Of September, and that's Opera Mini 5, and yeah, it looks nice. There's some pictures over there on the register about it, and it does look good.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's amazing how you don't really think about something until you see it. I'm just looking through, the sort of the tabbed options, and you get so used to it on your desktop now, it's like it's never not been there. And
yet, that's it, yeah.
On a mobile browser, you know, it's not something I really think about. I just quite happily sort of scroll between, different browser instances, really. And having actually seen the shots now, you kind of think, yeah, that's really the way to go. So hopefully, again, they're leading the way, and others will follow a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether you can get it on the iPhone yet. Otherwise, I'd have it downloaded. But I know Apple were releasing some third-party browsers, weren't they, for the iPhone? But I've not had to play around with any of them yet, if they are out there.
Yeah, I've not seen any, to be honest. I mean, Safari works pretty well, and flipping between pages isn't a big pain. But anything that saves you time and just makes it easier to to flip between pages is going to be a good thing. I've certainly not seen any third-party browsers on the iPhone myself.
Yeah, I think they might have just opened it up for the developers to you know, said we will let you put third-party browsers on there, but so we've not seen anything yet. But yeah, it'd be good if they get something like that out there. And I know, you know, Firefox with tabbed browsing, so that would be that'd probably be another one that would come out like that. But yeah, it certainly looks good. I mean, if you've got a device that you can get Opera Mini on there, have a look at it, because it certainly looks like a nice way of a nice sort of interface for browsing the web on the move.
Absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, so moving away, we've got a bit of Windows Mobile news, and that's that AT&T, Sprint and Verizon in the States have all signed up for the Windows Mobile 6.5 launch on the 6th of October. I know we're all waiting quite with anticipation for this launch, and those three carriers have all said that they're going to be set to release on that date the firmware for their devices. So I don't know about, I mean, I've not read anything about any UK-based operators doing the same thing. But obviously, when you've got these devices, you have it sort of skinned by the operators, don't you? So whether or not that's a good thing or not, I'm not sure still. It depends how they do it. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see that the operators are sort of getting really involved in this launch, and it's not just something that's going to go quietly under the radar. So yeah, it'd be nice to see some kind of big launch for it, and see what these operators have got planned.
Yeah, like you said, I think it's good that they've all, you know, it's part of this kind of global launch, or it's you know, that they've all synced up their launch, because it does make a bigger deal of it, doesn't it? It kind of makes it a bit more of an event, and like you say, I think generally the feeling is with Windows Mobile that, you know, the more skinning you can do with it, the better. But obviously they're moving it in the right direction now, so it'd be interesting to see if they need to do quite as much. And but as you say, John, I think it's good that you know, they're making an event out of it, and everything's all tied in. You know, to the same day.
So unfortunately, there's no hardware released announced yet, even. But it wasn't when this article was written. Anyway, this is on Engadget. But they're guessing that obviously HTC are going to have a big role in it, because they've got all their devices coming out, and they've got these new ones with Windows Mobile 6.5, which is due to be released. Like, I think, was it the Touch Pro, Touch HD Pro or something like that, that was coming out with Windows Mobile, am I right?
Yeah, that's right, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, and so I'm guessing something like that is going to happen for HTC, so they're going to be pushing some new phones with Windows Mobile. And they're guessing also LG might have a look in as well. So, but it's interesting to see how this unfolds, and see if anything any more gets announced pre October the 6th. So,
yeah, I guess we're just under a month away, aren't we? So, well, probably not even that. Probably 2 or 3 weeks. So, yeah, like, I'm sure HTC will be involved. It's not like they don't develop handsets every other week, is it? So, I'm sure they'll bring something out.
Yeah, that's it. Well, they must have plenty under the belt. So.
Yeah, probably got one lying around the office they could just throw into the launch.
Yeah, just install 6.5, throw it out there, that's it. New phone, the HTC Touch 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I knew, last week I was talking a bit about the new Motorola, the Cleek, I think they pronounce it. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's always difficult to know when you're sort of saying these things and you've just been reading it online whether or not you're going to get the pronunciation correct. But yeah. I was reading an interesting article over on Engadget about the Motorola Dext, which apparently is the UK equivalent of the Cleek. I'm not sure if it's Cleek's brother, apparently. And that's the rumours are saying that it's going to be released in the UK. It's going to be it's going to be on Orange even in the UK. It's going to be released in October. And apparently it'll be free on contract as well, for a £35 a month contract. So it's not too bad. I mean, it looks quite nice. I know I talked a bit about the Cleek and the interface last week, and the interface on this one looks to be pretty much exactly the same. So it does look very, very interesting. I don't know whether you've had a look at that one yet. I'm quite intrigued, because I've never been a big fan of Motorola's, to be honest. And I've always found their software to be really clunky and not user-friendly at all. But seeing them adopt the Android interface and sort of put their own twist on it, I'm quite intrigued by it, and the devices look nice as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it, you know, there's certainly a sort of slight Nokia look about it, I think, but the, you know, the hardware keyboard is, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people really, really kind of crave that. So I think that'll tick a lot of boxes. And the interface, I mean, from what I've seen of it, it looks pretty nice. So, and I guess that's what all devices pretty much live or die by, isn't it? It's how usable it is. So certainly, I think it looks pretty positive, and it'd be interesting to see whether, you know, how successful it is. But it, yeah, I think it looks pretty nice, and the slide out keyboard's definitely going to appeal to quite a big market of people. So be interesting to see how that does.
Yeah, so anybody looking for an Orange upgrade, sorry, in early October, and they fancy getting one, let us know what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely, especially, you know, like you say, the price point is pretty tough to beat, that'd be good to see that one come out. I know behind that as well, just off the back of that announcement, I think there was you know, some talk that Motorola have got quite a few Android handsets in the pipeline. So the article that I read said that potentially up to 10 more handsets to follow the Dext. So wow. This was from the gadget magazine T3 in the UK, but yeah, it certainly seems like they're really getting behind it, and you know, be interesting to see whether this actually bears out. But I think it's from a fairly reliable source. There's a global research analyst, Trip Chowdhury, has been credited with this, so it'd be interesting to see whether whether it does bear out. But obviously Motorola are firmly behind this and really going to be making quite a big Android play in the next 6 to 10 months.
That's it's really interesting to see that, actually, because the if you look at the way the big mobile manufacturer, the ones that everyone knows about, you've got Nokia, they've come out with their own thing, and the only etc. and things like that. And like you've got a lot of these other players coming in, you know, like HTC have come along, and up until not so long ago, not many people knew about them. And yet you've got a big player like Motorola, who has always stuck by its own sort of operating system on there and things like that. And you would have thought they might have gone the same way as Nokia and developed their own sort of smartphone interface, but now they've gone down the Android route, and I'm interested. It's good to see that. It's good to see that more people are jumping on that, because obviously it works well. So and they can just put their own development. They can put their own twist to it, and still have the good back end of the software to work with.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting to see what their sort of target audience is. I mean, obviously Motorola, you know, huge over the past few years, haven't they? Really innovative, and you know, the Razr and all these devices. I think we were talking about a few shows back, and you know, gone a bit quiet with everyone else moving on with the, you know, the sort of smart operating systems and really embracing it. And you know, I think it's great. I think, you know, Motorola have obviously got quite a following, and I think people are looking for them to release something that you know, that really pulls them back up. And like you said, it'd be interesting to see sort of what twist they put on it. I'm just sort of read through the article, and there's a talk of their Moto Blur syncing system, which is for social networking, which would be really interesting, because I think that, to me, that kind of says that they're going after the, you know, the same market possibly that they went after with the Razr and things like that, which obviously was massively successful. So yeah, it'd be really interesting to see how they, you know, how that one plays out as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we're pretty much done, are we, on the Motorola news this week?
Yep, that's it for Motorola. Yeah, I know you've got another device. You've got, were you looking at the LG?
Yeah, so this is the Chocolate 2, I think they're calling it. I think it's the Chocolate BL40, which is the you know, the really widescreen one, the cinematic widescreen 21:9 device, which is now out, I believe, on both O2 and Orange in the UK.
Wow.
I'm pretty interested in this. I mean, I like watching, you know, video on the move, and, you know, I think the iPhone's great for that. So having a big screen, you know, I think again would be, I'm quite intrigued to actually see one in the flesh. And I know they've got this dual screen system where you can have half the screen showing a video, and the other half you could be surfing and this, that, and the other. So
That's really interesting. Yeah, to me, it's a sort of good way of doing it, because I know that's really annoying. That's something that really annoys me on the iPhone is when I'm on the train, I'm watching a video, an email comes in, I've got to drop out the video, check the email, then start the video back up again. So it'd be interesting to see how that works with the dual screen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's it. When I first saw the 21 by 9, I thought, well, that's just a gimmick that, really, how many films do you watch on the move? But when you see the sort of dual aspect of it, I think it could, that really could work. So, and it looks a pretty decent spec device as well. 5 megapixel camera, Wi-Fi,
Yeah.
HSDPA, GPS. I mean, it looks really good. And I think a £30 a month call plan, and you can pick one up for nothing. So definitely keen to see what that's like.
Absolutely.
So yeah, anyone who's again up for their contract renewal, I think it'd be worth checking that out either on O2 or Orange.
I
So
know
that's
you were looking at something to do with the London buses.
yeah. Again, I mean, it just comes back to where apps are going. It just never ceases to amaze me how far things are progressing and how quickly. I mean, this is just something I picked up from Stuff.tv again in the UK. And it's just well, I say just, it's an augmented reality app called London Buses. I don't think it's in the store. I had a look for it this morning and couldn't see it, but I believe it's due out any time. And again, it just makes use of the camera, as all these augmented reality applications are doing. You just hold it up, it detects where you are using I guess, the GPS and the information it's getting through the camera, and just overlays it with all kinds of things, bus routes, fast food outlets, or pretty much anything I think you need to find out. And again, we'll post a link up to a video that sort of shows it in a little bit more detail. But really interesting, just the way things are going. It just when you think what else can they bring out? There's no sign of it stopping. It's still just constantly innovating, and new apps coming like this.
Yeah, looks brilliant.
Yeah, I think there was some talk. I know someone made a comment on this post saying that the only issue with this app is potentially they're going to be charging for a lot of the points of interest. So I think
Right.
the price that you pay could mount up pretty significantly. So I don't know whether it will be much more than a sort of a gimmick, almost something just to try to play around with, or it might get quite expensive.
Yeah. I'm really intrigued by these augmented reality, actually. Just some of the ideas that they're coming up with for how to use this technology is brilliant, and I'd love to have a proper play around with it at some point. I think a lot of these apps, if I'm right, need the 3GS because it's got the compass built in. Because I think a lot of it gets the data from which way you're facing and things like that. I'm not too sure though.
Right, that would make sense, wouldn't it? I think they're obviously starting to load up these phones with just everything, and it's all kind of heading to some converged reality. It's just crazy.
Yeah, which is very, very interesting though to see how far it's going and how quickly it's getting there as well.
Yeah, I was chatting to, actually, just on a slightly separate note, I was chatting to a friend of mine who works for Microsoft, and he was saying some of the technology that they've got coming down the track is again, you can point your phone to the ground and it will project images of directions for you, arrows, and tell you which way to go, this, that, and the other. I mean, they're still innovating all over the place, and so I think it's just going to explode over the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, just moving on to another thing. I know that Jose got his HTC Hero recently, and he's got around to writing up a post about his first impressions of it. They're up there on his blog, so we'll put a link to it in the show notes, and you can go and have a read of that. I mean, he seems quite impressed with it so far. I know he's a big fan so far. Luckily, I got to play with one this week as well, which I was quite happy about. One of my colleagues got an upgrade on his, well, he got a new contract with Orange and managed to get hold of a Hero. So I managed to swipe it off his desk when he wasn't looking and have a bit of a play around with it. And yeah, very impressed with them myself. I mean, it feels nice. It feels really solidly built and good quality. I found the interface on it wasn't as responsive as the iPhone, but
Right.
the kind of things you can do with it are really good. I mean, I like the idea of the sort of the different home screens that you can go through. Well, I've got live updates. You know, like you can flick over to the Twitter screen, and it'll have your Twitter feeds in there, your latest Twitter feeds, and you just tap on it, and that'll open up full screen. You can see it more closely in more detail.
Oh, wow.
It does that kind of thing with emails. You know, like you go over to the email screen, and you'll see your latest emails in, you know, a little preview of what it is, and you can flick them up to like flick over to the next note and things like that. And it just feels really nice, and the interface just looks really nice. And I know they've just released a new update for it as well, which is supposed to speed it up. So I'll have to have a go at it now that, well, once he's updated it, and then see whether that solved the problem with the response times. But definitely, if anybody gets their hands on, you know, a chance to have a play with one or anything like that, it's definitely. I mean, I've been recommending, some people are asking me today, saying, oh, I'm on Orange, and I'm not due an upgrade, you know, I like my tariff and everything, I don't want to go over to O2 for an iPhone. I was saying, well, if you don't want to go for O2 for an iPhone, have a look at one of these, because it's definitely a competitor for it, although not as easy to use.
Is it? No, I guess it takes a little bit more to set up, doesn't it? It's once you get it set up, I'm presuming it's pretty intuitive, is it? But
absolutely.
The one thing I've heard a couple of reports, and I think Jose said it was okay, but the flash based web pages, I've heard sort of different things about how responsive that is, how well that works. Did you get a chance to have a look at Flash on the Hero?
I haven't, but I'll ask the guy tomorrow, because he's in the office tomorrow, so I'll have a word with him, and I'll get some more time to have a play with it, and some more of his thoughts, and give you a bit more in depth next week. But
great,
Initial thoughts are it's really good. And
it looks a great device. I have to say, I'm pretty jealous actually. Both you and Jose now have had a chance to play with one. I guess I'll need to find somebody, or even just go into the Orange store and spend a couple of hours over lunch in there, I think, and just have a play with one.
Yeah, just get a go on it, because it's definitely worth a go, and just to compare it with what you're used to with the iPhone.
Right.
It's really good. But yeah, read Jose's first impressions on the his blog there, and if anybody else has got any sort of impressions of their own to do with the HTC or any of the other devices, then just let us know either in the show notes or the contact details, which we'll give you in a few minutes, and we'll talk about it.
Absolutely, yeah, it'd be great to hear anyone's real world examples on the devices that they're using, so we can cover it on a future show.
Absolutely. So we'll go up to app of the week now. Unfortunately, I've not had chance to have a real good play around, so I've got no app of the week this week. Jose's put on a link to, well, he's put on that Pandora's finally released on Android, which he's really pleased about. So that's his app of the week. And how about yourself, Sheldon?
Well, yeah, I've got, it's quite an interesting one this week for me anyway. I've been playing around at home. I've got a new DLNA enabled TV.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, which is really great actually. And I say it's really great. I'm still playing around with it. But one of the things I immediately looked for was a DLNA controller on the iPhone. And there are a couple out there. And I found one that was actually talked about in the latest T3 magazine, an application called Plug Player. Which is, it's a pay-for app. It's, I think it was £2.99, but essentially it does a number of things. So it can act as a DLNA controller, allowing you to select content from a Windows 7 machine, or there's some software that comes with a TV that I got, for example. Anything that can, basically can see any DLNA server and then throw it to a DLNA renderer. So it'll act as a controller, or also it will act as a renderer itself. So it was good for me. I've got a few files that are too high resolution to copy to the iPhone, but that sit on my home server. And sometimes I might be watching a show on my TV and then I'll just want to kind of finish it off, a little bit later on without actually watching it. I may not be able to get to the TV, or I might be in my office or something like that. And this app, Plug Player, will act as a DLNA renderer as well. So it played quite a few, high resolution files, no problems at all. Had some issues with the sound. If it was a 5.1 soundtrack, then I just got silence. But if there was a stereo soundtrack in the file, then it played it fine. So yeah, still playing around with it. It's not perfect. It's on the iPhone. So it's from the Apple App Store. And I did again. I found some issues when I came out of the app. I had some issues with the iPod application. Occasionally I'd lose sound, so I had to just reboot it once I've been playing around with it. So it's more my app of the week for, you know, sort of what I've found it was able to do and what I'm hoping it's going to lead to in the future. It's certainly not the finished article, but a good application to take a look at anyway.
Excellent, yeah. I think I'll take a look at that myself. Right, so that sort of wraps up the show for this week. If you want to get in contact with us, you can leave a comment on the blog on the show notes there. You can email us at mobile@thedigitallifestyle.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at John Dickinson.
And I'm at Sheldon W.
Okay, excellent. Well, it's good to speak to you again, Sheldon, and hopefully we'll be back with maybe Jose will be back next week, but we'll definitely be back anyway, and we should have a nice action-packed show for everyone.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks, John. Great to talk to you, and have a good week, and we'll catch up next week.
You too. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay. Bye.